Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by and about young people in Mendocino County, California. This program is funded through Laytonville Healthy Start with Jama Shield Spence and produced by Dan Roberts. Our website is youthspeaksout.net. I am Eve.
I am Natalia.
I am Karina.
Since we are sheltering in place, we are creating the show on FaceTime.
Natalia, give us your update on attending college. Where is it you're going?
I'm going to Occidental College in LA. We're all online. The college announced that we were going to go online, I think, like, pretty early, like June, I want to say, or maybe like July-ish. So they had like about a month and a half or 2 months to kind of like figure out the whole online stuff. So I just had my first like classes. I had all my first classes yesterday, actually, all like through Zoom at home and all that. And then 3 days before that, we had to do our freshman orientation all also through Zoom, which was kind of, I won't say, like, the orientation was really rough. In all honesty, I wasn't a huge fan of it. It kind of put me a little bit down in the dumps, I'm not gonna lie, just because it was a lot of about the stuff that they had at Occidental, or like all the options or the stuff that you can do there, or just like the vibe and stuff. And it just kind of was like, well, none of us are going to be together for like an unknown period of time. So it kind of just felt like we should have just waited so we didn't have to sit for like 8 hours a day on Zoom for 3 days. But I mean, it gave information, I guess. But, and then we had our classes yesterday, and that was kind of strange for sure. I had all four of my classes. I have them all Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it's from like 9:45, and it ends at like 7. And there's like hour periods, which would be like kind of normal for like a pretty normal college schedule. But it's strange having like a 50-minute class and then like an hour where you just sit at home doing nothing because you can't really go anywhere. And then like another class and then 2 hours where you can't do anything. And it's just like the schedule would be kind of dope if I was also in college. But right. In all honesty, like, they're being really accommodating. They're really like, they understand that it sucks, which is helpful. And they've had a lot of time to plan to make sure that it's like still a good class experience, or at least like to the best of their ability.
So could you describe a class or two that you had yesterday? What it was like?
Yeah, I had my first class I took was Intro to Sociology, which was kind of, I want to say it's like probably one of the easiest classes I'm taking. And that one is mostly, it's pretty laid back, I think, mainly just because of the Zoom situation. So it's just kind of like, I think a lot of the professors are understanding that a lot of it has to be based on how much effort you're putting in. And like a lot of the grading has to be between the professor and the student and understanding like what they can do where they're at. But it's mostly like, it's hard to have like discussions a lot of the time on Zoom. So it's going to be like a lot of readings and stuff. But for that class, it's mostly just papers and stuff. But for one of my classes, it's called Conflicts in Education, we're doing like he wants us to do like mock trials and like debates and stuff through Zoom. Like, that's the plan. And I didn't know that was the plan, like, when I signed up for the class. Like, I just thought it was just like us learning about like the education system. But he's trying to have us do like mock trials and stuff like that, and that's gonna be interesting. I think it's just like a learning experience more than anything. Like, I'm already in it, and it'll be an experience regardless. And I have like all of them are very different, in all honesty, even though it's still like a Zoom format, which is nice. One of them I have, it's called Joyful Noise, and it's on Black literature and musicality. And that one's a bit more like, wow, a lecture, cool. I think, where we like ask questions and he just kind of like answers them. And it's more like we do like a couple readings and then we do that. But for like our assignments, like, we just make like, our first assignment is we make a playlist with like a partner in the class that like explains an experience that we both like had with like, oh, like 15 songs. And then the next one is just like by ourselves and like redesign an album cover and stuff like that. So like, I think the workload's also really different depending between the classes, but it doesn't seem overwhelming, which is really nice. Like, I'm not gonna have to sit at home doing online schoolwork and then being on Zoom 24/7. Like, I think I'm gonna be able to space it out to where I'm gonna be able to have a lot of free time.
How many people are on your Zoom screen at a time when you're in the class?
My school's pretty small. So, like, in general, the classes don't really exceed, like, 50 people tops in person. Like, 50 is the max. But in the Zoom classes, I think the most I have in a class is, like, 18 people, maybe. Maybe, like, 20. Like, they're really small classes. And, like, most of the time, you're just looking at who's talking. Like, I just kind of set it up to, like, that format, unless we're, like, introducing ourselves. Because, like, I don't really think it's super possible to see everyone on the screen at once, and most of the time you're looking at the professor. But, yeah, I would say, like, mostly it's, like, 18. I think the smallest one I have is, like, 12. 12 or 10. And then the biggest one's, like, maybe 18 or 20.
Okay, so you have sociology. And what are your other classes that you had yesterday?
I had intro to sociology was my first one. And then my second one, all the freshmen have to take these things called CSPs, which are the writing seminars, basically, because Occidental is like a very liberal arts school and writing's very like up there for the skills they want everyone to have. Mm-hmm. So we have to do one each semester. So I took one, it's called Emerging from Chaos, Rethinking Times of Suffering. And that one was, honestly, that one's really interesting. It's just like thinking about like rethinking what chaos kind of means, and instead of thinking about it as like an inherently negative thing as history has kind of thought it to be, you can kind of just how to like rethink chaotic times in your life as more of like gifts or like skills you gained over just like really hectic times. Well, but so a lot of that's cool. Just mainly writing for that class.
That sounds great.
And that one, it was honestly really interesting. He's like our professor's he's in the military. He's actually in the National Guard. And he was talking about, like, attending the protests in L.A. and how him and his friends were, like, also, like, attending the protests. And then they also got called out to be, like, the National Guard in L.A., like, a few days later. Which was, like, kind of a crazy thought process for me to have. Because it was just, like, I never really thought of the National Guard as people in those kinds of, like, really normal positions. But, anyways, the class after that is the Joyful Noise on Black Literature and Musicality. And then my last class is the Conflict in Education one. And that one's from like 5 to 7. And I think a couple of them are only Monday and Wednesday. I think like Conflict in Education and another one are just Monday and Wednesday.
Are the professors presenting continuously or is it all a discussion?
My professor's name is, I don't remember his first name is, but it's Solosano, I think, is his last name. And it's basically, well, for the beginning of the class, we didn't do tons. We just kind of went over the syllabus. But I think a lot of it, the first thing that our first, like, assignment is debates. So we're, like, partnered up with another person in the class. And then we both have, like, we're debating with each other on a topic involving education that's based off of, like, a Supreme Court case. And then we're supposed to debate that like during the Zoom call with everyone else, like watching it and taking notes and then putting in like their notes and reviews to the professor. And that's kind of how we get graded. And so we also have to write like a paper based off of that too with our partner. And that's kind of like one project. And I think like throughout that, we're doing like a lot of readings and other stuff and just discussions based off of that and just like how we're supposed to do that. And I think a lot of it will just kind of be like building up to that project, you know, and then the next one will is like the mock trial, which I think will be like that, but just like a little bit more difficult. So, and I think a lot of it, none of it's super set in stone, I don't really think yet, just because the Zoom format can be really like, we don't really know what it's going to be like for any of the professors. So they're all kind of like, you know, if one thing doesn't work, obviously we're going to have to switch it up. If one thing's like working really well, we'll focus on that, just stuff like that. And they're really open to feedback and stuff too, which is nice. Me and my sister both have to do our Zoom stuffs because she's in the high school and she's a junior and their stuff's from 8 to noon or something close to that. And my stuff starts at like 9:45 and it goes on from there. So like for that brief period of time where we are like overlapping, it doesn't really work. I have to like leave and go down to like the neighbors or like figure something else out just because I don't think our Wi-Fi can really handle it. It's definitely, like, my Wi-Fi isn't used to this, and I'm honestly not sure how long it's going to continue working as it does. Because, like, I know that it goes in and out of, like, its strength a lot, like, from personal knowledge, for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I'm also planning on moving in with my older sister hopefully in about like a month or so. So that should make things a bit easier, like Wi-Fi wise. It's in like Yucca Valley, so like 20 minutes away from Palm Springs.
So how many units are you taking?
16, just a normal amount.
Is the tuition fee the same as it would have been if you were going into the classes? Did they reduce the
no,
price?
No, it's way, the tuition's, they reduced it a lot. I think, honestly, one thing I will say is like Occidental is very like student led. Like the students hold like a lot of positions of like power and like what goes down in the school. So like a lot of stuff like you would reasonably think like that's stupid, like we should fix that. I think Occidental is pretty like keen to like hopping on it. Like they immediately reduced the tuition. Like it's just they made all of like the textbooks and stuff, like basically all of them are accessible online through like Moodle, which is like the thing that they use.
What's it called?
And then it's just the tuition for the Moodle. I've never used it before. It's kind of like Canvas basically, like, but for Occidental. Yeah, it's just the tuition that you would have to pay for the classes. And I was already getting like a pretty big scholarship from them already to go. So I was only having to pay like about like $3,000 a semester or something.
Oh, wow.
But that's then when we looked at our little for how much we had to pay for this semester, it said that our balance was like negative $5,000. Like that's how much it was. So I'm not sure. I like, cause it's like substantially less. It's like less than half of like what the tuition normally is. So like realistically it kind of makes sense, but also it's a little bit confusing. And I don't think I would go to school if the tuition was full either. I would definitely wait.
Yeah. Yeah. You're saying that it goes from 9 until 7 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday?
My first class is like from 9:45 to like 10:30 or something like that. And then I have like an hour or so break and then my next class starts. And then I have like an hour and a half or something. And then I have my third class. And then I have like 2.5 hours. Just like a rough pit space. And then I have my fourth class.
When I went to college and most people's college experience, part of the real best part of college is getting to hang out in between classes.
Exactly.
And meeting people and having conversations.
So like, yeah, like they're having these spaces that would be totally reasonable for if I was like on campus, and I would not be upset about it like whatsoever.
Have they created any way that students can interact socially outside of the classes?
Usually during the orientation, we have like a group of freshmen that we all like go through our stuff with and like bond with or whatever. But instead of being there, like we would just like have our individual like Zoom call at like the end of the day, and like we would like interact with each other and like go through like little breakout rooms, which is just kind of like one-on-one Zoom with like a random person and like talk to them and stuff, which was kind of cool, but also a little bit like, I remember one period of time, not one period of time, like one day where at the end of it, we just did a bunch of separate breakout rooms. So it was like 7 individual Zoom calls with like random strangers. We had to like talk about each other and like ask a bunch of questions and stuff. And it was like kind of really draining because it's just like random FaceTimes with people you don't know.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been a lot easier if it was in person. But, and then I made like a couple friends from that, honestly. Like like a couple people I'm still like Snapchatting and stuff. And I have one class with a guy that was in my orientation, so like that's kind of cool. And it's definitely like, I think I would have definitely been able to connect with those people in person, and I think just like some of the connections can last a little bit through Zoom, you know, which is nice. And hopefully we'll just be able to go to school relatively soon and it won't be like an awkward space, because I really don't super enjoy making friends online and then having to meet them in person, because it's just kind of like, I don't know, I don't love it just for me personally. So that was kind of one thing I wasn't looking forward to through the college Zoom format, was like my school wanting me to make connections with other freshmen and stuff online really heavy. But honestly, it's been okay so far. And I definitely think like I'm meeting like what sort of the freshman class looks like in like some of the other people. But one of my classes I'm the only freshman in, so that's a little strange. But all the other ones, there's a bunch of freshmen.
Have you been reconsidering your goals? Do you feel like the pandemic will die down within 6 months or a year, and then everything will go back to normal and your regular plans will fall in line?
I think that a wise man once told me that the root of all disappointment is expectations. And I think I expected a lot with this coronavirus nonsense. And I'm done expecting that, like, I'm not going to make any assumptions about when it's going to, how everything's going to work out. I think right now I'm just trying to put myself in the mental space of just being prepared for however anything might go. Because, like, in reality, that's just true for, like life. We just have to understand that nothing is ever in control. Like, we can't. Like, everything is constantly just going. So I think I have, like, a steady idea of, like, what I want to do and, like, what makes me happy and what I would like to accomplish. But I also have to understand that there isn't anything that's keeping those things that I want to do in place, or, like, there's nothing that's really gonna cement the idea of those things happening. So I think I just have to roll with it. Like, I still want to go to law school, and I still want to, like, continue throughout college. But if coronavirus doesn't stop, you know, like, if it continues to be like this for, like, a year and a half, or, like, if I have to continue being online for a sustainably long time, like, I'm definitely gonna reconsider what I want and how I'm gonna get there, because I don't want to sit on my computer for, like, days on end. And I'm okay with it for a semester, but, like, I don't want to have to continue it for a super long time. So I definitely, like, have to consider the fact that things might change and you got to roll with it. But right now I feel like my goals are relatively the same, but I think I understand a bit more that, like, those things might not remain consistent throughout my life. One thing that I think is important for me is, like, putting myself where I think I'm most needed and where I'm, like, most useful. And right now I think that's, like, in the whole law field, like, as a juvenile defense attorney, like, helping out them kids, like, in court and stuff, like, all day and whatnot. But, like, if I see that, like, another part of the world or the U.S. is actually, like, you know, like, really needing some help or some guidance or whatnot, and, like, I feel like I'm incredibly capable of doing that, I wouldn't put it aside myself to switch whatever direction I'm at to help whatever I think needs immediate attention. Yeah. But I think that there's so many places that need immediate attention. So unless something's really, you know, like, so if I feel like I'll be able to tell and know if something's getting switched up for sure.
Would you want to express your opinion about how the Black Lives Matter protests have evolved, and, like, what's going on in Portland, and premonition of a civil war? I mean,
I feel like I've been following the Black Lives Matter protests, like, pretty consistently since, like, George Floyd was murdered, and I feel like the evolution has obviously been it's been pretty intense. Like, it, you know, it's gone from a lot of different things and a lot of different viewpoints and everyone paying attention to, like, it kind of dying out and then people being like, no, like, pay more attention to it. But I think that, I mean, every city has been different and reacting differently, but I think especially in Portland with, like, the addition of, like, all of these, like all the military and the National Guard and all of these people and, like, everyone saying that Portland's, like, this crazy war zone and all this nonsense. And I feel like I've been seeing a lot of different stuff where, like, in my opinion, of course, I don't think it's ever really necessary to bring the National Guard to a peaceful protest or any other, or a protest in general. I don't know. I think for the premise of a civil war, I think it really depends on who gets elected. like, I think that obviously right now, like, it's pretty polarizing times. Mm-hmm. But I do think that people in general would rather see things turn better through, like, policy and, like, protesting and all of that instead of having to erupt into a full out, you know, like, war between people. And I have no idea how that would go down. But I do think that, you know, if Trump did get reelected or something, you know, crazy like that were to happen, that would definitely ensue some kind of madness. Whether that would engage in a whole war, I'm not sure, but I will say that some things do need to happen, but I'm not sure if I would equate that to a war.
Well, it's interesting that you're taking that class in chaos, because to me it seems like we've entered into a chaotic circus on several different levels. I mean, we've got the virus, we've got the civil uprising, and now we've got the fires. I mean, this is chaos. I mean, it's so appropriate that you're studying chaos.
Before I took the class or like all of this, like junior year and stuff, I think I started thinking a lot about like the idea of chaos and like what that meant, and like not necessarily like the manifestation of chaos, but just like the idea of like recognizing when you're in chaotic times and how to like put that energy into something where you're like not letting it overwhelm you, and you're starting to be able to put that towards like an actual just like powerful type energy. Like, I don't know how I'm explaining this right. Just like not letting chaos like overwhelm you, and like starting to understand that like this is a, like kind of like a really like a gift more than something that's... That was the first class that I picked, was the Emerging from Chaos class. Like, I talked to my advisor about it, and he was like, yeah, like, go for it. That's dope. And I, like, picked that one, like, immediately, like, with like on the first day. Like, my professor said the same thing. I think it's really, like, kind of the perfect time to take this type of class. And, like, I think he has a really good understanding of, I think, just, like, the whole idea of, like, what I was trying to learn about, just, like, how to kind of understand chaos and learn from it, especially in history, too. I think a lot of it is kind of looking back in history and how people have, like, come back from really terrible times, like, chaotic and horrible and horrific times, like, minority groups and just other groups, like, from, like, wars and other kinds of just, you know, chaotic times. And I think it'll be really interesting to kind of compare those times to how we might come from this now, like after all of this, you know, dies down or we all die, you know, how we're going to emerge from this moment in like a more peaceful time. I think with Corona, we've kind of like, so many people have lost so much money, and money's been distributed in such absurd and unequal ways, and some people losing their jobs, and like all of these people are working so much for all of these super necessary jobs. And I think hopefully it'll just kind of help us reevaluate. I think we'll like just how money's like working. I think like I've heard like just like us understanding that like all of these huge corporations still have so much money, and like it just it's becoming even more like separate than it was before. And I think hopefully we'll be able to reevaluate just like how money is working, like, you know, like who is not necessarily like deserving of it, but like who is needs to be, you know, like paid more for their work, and who's doing the most stuff, you know, like hopefully that will kind of bring a new reevaluation into how money's working.
My name is Corinna Gillespie. I'm a high school graduate, and I'm attending Claremont McKenna College, a private school in LA. And just before the semester started last week, they decided to transition to a fully online semester. So I'm taking up 4 courses, but they're all online. Still here in Laytonville, obviously, for now. I'm taking Gov 20, Econ 50, a intro to philosophy class, and a freshman writing seminar about life and experience. So far, I enjoy them, even though it's definitely weird to be starting a whole new phase of education, but through the screen and trying to connect with the professors and my students, my peers, is really difficult through Zoom.
Would you describe the whole experience? I mean, like, it's time for a class, so you turn on the screen and just describe what you see and the interaction.
Yeah, so one of my classes, my econ class, is more lecture-based. So when we sign into class, he'll just talk for most of the class, and we'll take notes. And there's some features on Zoom that you can, like, post a poll to all the students so we can answer little questions, like multiple choice, little quizzes really fast, just so he can see where we're at and if we're paying attention and know what's going on. So that's kind of a cool feature, and there's, like, a little chat area that we can communicate. You could do like a little virtual hand raise, so if somebody wants to say something, they can raise their little hand on the screen, and then the teacher can call on you. My other classes are more discussion based, so we sign on and talk for a little while, and we just have discussion Zoom. It's definitely pretty awkward, and there's a lot of like people and pausing at the same time and trying to talk, or
just because everyone has different
Wi-Fi,
like different times, everyone is a little bit ahead or back, and it's kind of awkward. But...
So how many people are in your classes?
I have, two of my classes are like 25 people, 25 people. And then one of them is like 12 and one of them is 6.
Wow.
So definitely smaller classes, but that is mostly the main reason why I wanted to go to the Carolina Canyon in the first place, was for the small classes.
So when those discussion classes, describe what one of those classes was like.
My main discussion class is my intro to philosophy one. So we're just barely getting started, so I haven't even done that much of it, but there, we either all talk in one big group on the main screen about something, or there's also a feature where you can put people into like breakout rooms, so that she can set it up where different groups of people will be put into separate little Zooms so that there's more focus.
Mm-hmm.
And put them all back together into one big group at the end. And that's definitely awkward when it's like there's like two or three of us or something. Then it's definitely cool to like get that extra chance to bond with them, just because it's hard in the big group over Zoom.
You were not able to go down and visit the college this before these classes started, right?
No. I've never even been to the campus.
Oh, wow. So is the technology working okay for you in the class? I mean, do you know what your Wi-Fi source is? Are you on satellite or what are you on?
I don't, we just have the little Willets online.
Okay.
In my house, but It's working all right. Sometimes Zoom gets laggy, but if I turn off my camera, then I can hear the sound better. But usually it works okay. My professors have been pretty clear, and it's all been pretty simple, like with online Zoom, and like they send out very clear emails talking about things. So I think because they had practiced last semester teaching classes online, that they know more of how to keep the class engaged.
Are there going to be tests, or is everything going to be you submit essay answers for things? Do you know that yet?
Yeah. Two of my classes have like a midterm and then a final. But two of them don't have any exams at all. Just like writing and reading assignments.
So does that mean that you'll have like a 2-hour period to respond to an essay and then have to send it in? Is that what's going to happen? On your midterms, for example, are you going to have to write a paper during a 2-hour class period and then submit it at the end?
I'm not sure if one of my classes, but I know that my economics one, I have to, we print out the test from online, and then we have to turn it into a PDF and submit it or scan it.
Okay.
Once we're done. And we'll do it like while we're in class, on Zoom.
Okay. Okay. So there's like, there'll be a time thing.
But I think really what it is that all the professors really don't know that much what they're doing still. And like all of them have told me that like, if there's anything that we suggest we should change about the online setting, that we should say something, and it's going to be constantly shifting to create the best environment. You know, they don't really know yet. It's the best plan. So we just started.
Yeah, that's great that they're really open to suggestions, because it's really a different situation. It's going to be confusing, and who knows how much is going to actually be learned in the course of an hour period. In high school, especially if they're, at Laytonville High School, are they going to have live classes on Zoom?
Yeah, my sister's in the high school, and she's been taking every day. She signs on and does her 3 or 4 classes with the teachers on Zoom. Some of the teachers do okay in teaching online, and some of them, it's pretty hard to watch, and a lot of the students have really short attention spans, and it's hard to fulfill that over a screen, and they really lose their attention, and then they don't hear something, and it's they can't clarify it because they're not, and the emails that they send out are confusing, and it's kind of a mess, but I don't know. I'm not sure there's any other way it could be right now.
Most kids like that are just losing a year of education. Like, they're not getting much out of this format. They're just trying to do it so that they can say that they're doing it, but I have a hard time believing that they're going to really maintain any of that information.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Are they going to be expected to sit in front of a screen for 5 hours like they would at school?
Yeah, they are. They're expected to sit in front of a screen for that long.
I think if I would have been put in this situation my junior year of high school, things probably would have ended very differently, in all honesty.
Yeah, probably same. We, took on actual, education and, got to be, more of our own people. But, now they just are stuck in front of a screen all the time.
Do you know what they're doing for students that don't have Wi-Fi? Or have they found a way to supply...
Yeah. The school is actually open for kids that need to go. They put them in the library spaced apart, and they still have to Zoom the teacher in the classroom, even though they're already at the school. So kids without Wi-Fi can go to the school every day and just do their work.
Did they drop tuition at your school? Or how's that happening? Are you still having to pay tuition?
So I myself... I've got a big scholarship from them and other scholarships as well, so I actually don't have to pay them anything, but they didn't lower tuition at all. They might have later, they didn't in the beginning, they might have changed it later, but I wasn't paying that much attention because I didn't have to pay anyways, but in the beginning they said they weren't going to lower it.
Is your school on the quarter system or semesters?
Semester.
Okay, will that semester be done before Christmas?
It'll be done before Thanksgiving.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah.
They condensed them.
Karuna, what have you been doing for entertainment in the last couple of months?
I've been doing a lot of camping. We've been out doing a lot of stuff like camping outside. I just recently went on 2-week-long camping trips, right in a row. But mostly hanging out with my friends. I did work a lot, too, for my dad. We, Natalia and Eve and I, all help him with natural building. So.
Wow, cool. Can you describe what the natural building is?
So the work he does from bale, so bale buildings with plaster and cob. So we did some of that, doing other work, 'tis the season.
Good.
Mostly I've just been at the river or camping.
Have you been reconsidering your goals because of the situation with the virus and et cetera?
I did consider deferring for a year at least, but or a semester, but I think I just I came to the conclusion that I want to finish college as much as I want to start, and I don't want to postpone education for a year and not have any set up goal for me for a whole other year again. I had goals about being social and meeting people, and those have all gone away. But my education goal is still strong.
If you were going to describe the world as you're experiencing it right now, just this confluence of all these strange events, the virus, Black Lives Matter, and the fires all happening stacked on top of each other. How does that make you feel? Or make some comments about that, if you can.
I'm not surprised, I guess. I don't feel fully surprised.
that this year is still a mess, but I don't know. It's a lot.
If you told me 4 months ago that there was going to be flooding and fires, I wouldn't be shocked because there were already protests in the virus. I never thought the virus was going to affect us here. It was so distant living in a small town. It seemed like it was so far away. But then it hit hard and affected everything. I definitely did not see that coming. But it also, even though it all did surprise me at first, now it almost just all seems right. Like it, I don't know. It seems weird for it to have gone any other way. All of this stuff happening at once is creating a big shift in people's mindsets. And I don't think that would have happened without all of this commotion.
Do you think that, let's say, in a year or two, things will start looking like what you had expected, let's say, last fall?
It's not just going to go away, but it'll definitely get better. And probably by 2 years, hopefully by 2 years, it'll be pretty back to normal. One would be awesome, but for some reason, I don't expect it to be totally normal by a year.
So have you been following the election, the conventions, and if you have any opinions about the political system and the moment we're in, why don't you just talk about that?
I just watched parts of the RNC convention that Trump held. Trump's planning to hold an RNC convention outside the White House, even though you're not legally allowed to use the White House for any political gain or for campaigns. I fear that Trump wins again, but I don't think so. I think people are smarter than that. I hope people to vote at all. You know, I don't think just because Biden obviously isn't a good guy or wants to be the best for us, he's still way, way better than Trump. And the only way to get Trump out is to vote him in. So
are you going to be 18 by the election?
No.
You guys are heading off to college. When do you turn 18?
I don't turn 18 until May, actually. Whoa.
So you guys all skip classes and there's jumped ahead in school.
Yeah, when I attended Spyrock, it was right. Kind of like, do your work at your own pace.
Right.
So I ended up skipping a grade.
Hello, everyone. My name is Eve Kryling. I am a recent graduate of Laytonville High School. I will be attending Oregon State University in the fall to be studying environmental science. I've done about a half a dozen You Speaks Out in the past. Today we'll be talking about the current climate and the future of our education. About a couple weeks ago, I got the email saying that 90% of our classes at Oregon State will be held online or through remote learning platforms. And that was really personally upsetting to me because throughout the entire summer, they were like, we are going to work through this. We have all of these measures in place in order to keep you safe and also create a healthy in-person learning environment. And they were really dedicated to conveying that it will be like somewhat normal in-person classes this fall, even though they would be social distance, they would still be in person. But about a month before the term is supposed to start, actually, they told us that has changed and that 90% will be remote learning and that they recommend that you not live in the dorms and that you stay home and do the remote learning platform. And I found that so devastating. It was absolutely terrible. I did not know what I was going to do because I had lost my roommate. I had lost my whole plans for the next 3 months, like in a single day. Because I could stay home and do the remote learning here because I don't have adequate internet to do that. Like my sister is already struggling with her Laytonville High School Zoom classes now, like with our internet access. Like, both of us could not be on that every day, all day, every day, especially paying thousands of dollars for it. And so me and my family, we came up with the resolution that I am just going to move to Corvallis, and I have an off-campus student apartment. I'm sharing with three other freshmen that also feel the same way, that they need to be near the school, even though there isn't much actually going on campus. I'm already having second thoughts about moving there and doing my two major classes. Like, I have my class schedule. I'm signed up for chemistry and biology at the same time, and they're both online classes and they both have labs. And I'm thinking, how is that going to work? How am I going to benefit from that? But luckily, when I had my advising appointment, she explained that there are a few classes that are going to be held on campus this semester. And luckily, my major that I picked, the intro class to it, which my advisor teaches, will be held in person because we work with the seniors in the same major on their projects, since it's a very research-oriented major. And so luckily, I was able to get into one in-person class as well as a rock climbing class, which I'm actually super excited for. So it's very strange. I'm moving up there. I'm trying to have the normal college experience, but I know everything's going to be shut down for people's safety, of course, but it's just not going to be the same. Like, I've seen polls on Instagram of like who's going and moving on to campus or who's going to be near campus in the fall. And it's like 40% of freshman class. So my entire peer group, or like 60% of the peer group that would normally be with me this year, will not be there. I'm trying to make it as the normal college experience as I can, and trying to like tell myself that it's going to be okay and I'll be able to do the online classes and it'll be relatively normal, even though nothing about anybody's situation is normal right now. I'm having a lot of doubtful thoughts about the online classes and paying tuition for the online classes, because for one, I'm paying out-of-state tuition. I'm spending all of my scholarship money on this first year just to not be in debt for my first year in college. So I just really, really hope that these two online classes can teach me what I need to learn. I'm taking chemistry and biology, and those are the intro classes to two very hard sciences that I have to take a whole lesson track in. And so if I don't get a good foundation with these two classes, like, how am I going to be successful in the rest of my college career, you know? And are they going to be able to give me a adequate class through remote learning? And is it going to be worth the thousands of dollars in tuition I'm paying for it? You know, like, I'm taking biology and chemistry, and both of them require a lab. And from what videos I'm seeing of other universities or other high schools with their science labs, like, they look like video games. They look like Surgeon Simulator, move like your one beaker into the other, see if like the light changes, you know? It's not real. They're just representations of what we're supposed to be learning. And that's what I'm really struggling with, is because like we're spending the money on the experience and like seeing what we're supposed to be learning and seeing the evidence and having people give us the wisdom that they've learned, but are they going to be able to do that adequately and give us what we deserve for our money? If I had the choice, I would not be going to school this semester, but I am stuck because I will lose my scholarships if I do, and I will just lose progress. So I'm really stuck.
I've already talked to Natalia and Karuna, and like, they're having class. I mean, their colleges are totally online, absolutely totally online. They're not taking science classes like you. It's more adequate if you're just talking about ideas than if you're trying to learn the physical world. You know, the physical world requires exactly hands-on stuff.
And that's why those classes can work for like English seminars or liberal arts discussion classes. But I think for science and math, like, there's really a communication gap, especially for concrete life sciences, you know, stuff that you have to observe to understand, really, you know?
Yeah.
So I really hope this isn't the future of education, because I really feel many people will be missing out if it is. How long will it go on? Like, if it goes on for 3 years, 4 years, then that's the time I'm supposed to be in college. Like, only a certain amount of time where people can just lay stagnant and be just be, you know, like there has, like, we all have this drive to keep our lives moving forward. I just don't know how long it could be. Like, my mom was trying to be positive today and saying, like, it's like 15% down in the U.S. today or something like that. But, like, it's just so unpredictable, and people will hear statistics like that. It's like 15% down. I think it's okay and everything. And, like, it's just hard, because as much as you want your life to move on, you know, there's a risk in your life moving on, because it could just shut back down again. Like, once I go to college, everybody else moving into my apartment building, or everybody else moving to other apartment buildings around me, you know, those are all dangerous factors. And if there's an outbreak in the town, like, that, are the whole life plan, like, is completely derailed. Like, there's nothing I can do about it. It's such a difficult situation, especially for a young person like me, just trying to, like, actually start the next phase of their life, you know, the independent phase of their life. It scares me. I'm going to be going to a whole new place where I don't know anyone with this deadly virus going on. And so, like, if something happens, like, I'm going to have, like, no one for a little bit, you know, it's going to be strange. Like, there's, like, a whole shade of fear around everything.
Right.
Right. So, and I don't know how long it could last. It could last for years, could last for the rest of the time. Like, we could just get used to living in fear of each other and doing online and remote things. And it's really creating divides between people, like, across the country. Like, even here in little Laytonville, like, there are people that just want to push, because of Trump's, like, whole radical, the Trump and the Republicans party radical idea about this virus, and thinking, like, they are patriotic for not wearing a mask, or they're patriotic for being against the Black Lives Matter movement. Like, it's really creating a divide, you know, because there's the people who are for whatever Trump's about because they believe in the dream of America, but that's pretty much it. And so they're just ignoring the actual problems that are happening, like the spread of coronavirus and police killing Black people every other week now. Like, so being contrary to that is, like, how they express their political views now. Like, I watched a Trump supporter, red hat and everything, at Chevron the other day. He freaking jumped out his truck, no mask, walked into Chevron, like, people, like, the cashiers in Chevron told him to get out. They would not serve him without the mask. Like, they need to go out and get a mask. He was trying to get all the drinks. Like, I was in the Chevron while he was doing this, and I was like, I cannot believe this man. Like, I stood in the back corner of Chevron just trying to stay the heck away from him, because he was literally putting his hands over everything, not wearing a mask, fighting with the cashiers who were just like, get out, obey the rules. But he's like, no, this is my free country, blah blah blah, I can do what I want. And, like, literally they had to, you know, give him his gas and his freaking snacks in order to get him out of there and stop disrupting the entire store. Like, they believe false information because it's under the disguise of, like, patriotism and standing up for America and everything. Like, it's just really saddening. The fact that everything has progressed so quickly in the last 6 months this year is, like, for me, shocking, but also somewhat, like, exciting. I'm excited for the radical good change that is happening. And even though it is kind of in shocking and somewhat violent ways that it is happening, but we need to have some sort of display, some sort of, we are done with how you're treating us, because the media and our politicians are just not addressing the actual problems here in America. You know, in all of the 2010s, there was multiple offenses against young Black men
being just gunned down in the streets, or just for simply walking, or walking in a menacing way, or having something in their hand, you know, and those reports would be covered, but they weren't being made of anything, you know, nothing happened because of them. But now there's just all of this like energy one after the other with this, it's like a revolution. So I'm excited that it's happening. I'm excited that young people and others are actually standing up and being like, this is wrong. You can't tell us that it's not wrong. You can't like sugarcoat it. You can't say that you can just comply and be all right, because obviously that's not the case. Obviously we have all these examples that's not the case. And so in order to make like their voices heard, they're having to do these large displays of like, we're fed up with it. And sadly, because of some ultra radical groups or governmental police interference, they become violent, you know, even though that's not the intent of what people are trying to do. I think what's going on is really impactful. And I think it's going to go down in history, especially since it's going on in this pandemic during the 2020 election season, where we're trying to get rid of this horrible president we've had for the past 4 years. Like, it's the timing of it has continued to make an impact on America. Like, they can say it's bad all they want, but it's going to be remembered and it's going to be thought about, and something's going to happen because of it. You know, there's going to be change because of what's going on, at least what I believe. You know, it's not just protests, like we're getting other politicians to stand by the Black Lives Matter movement, to stand by what the people are saying. So I do believe if this continues to happen, despite the hard situations we are all under, if we continue to kind of express what we believe in and fight for what is right, like, I believe there will actually be radical and good change in this country in the next 5 years. In the next year, actually. As soon as things become less violent and displayful and more calculated, and more organizations with more powerful groups can form and actually take down, like, legally all the issues, the people need to call our government out for the stuff they've done. Like, really, that's what, in the past 6 months, that's all come to light, of all the terrible things that our government has just kind of like slid underneath us and expected us to be okay with, you know. But like, we need to show that it's not okay, and we need to show that it's what they're doing is wrong. And we either need to do that legally somehow. I don't know the logistics of suing the government, but I think it needs to happen, or there needs to be some damage. I don't know how else to say it. We need to freaking rip down the dumb border wall that they're building over sacred land in the freaking on the border. Like, we need to freaking rip down all of the racist monuments in the South. I'm glad that there's action and physical evidence to show that the people are angry with what has been happening to them. So I think if it keeps happening, we're going to get to a much more people-driven democracy.
The one thing I would say, though, is I kind of think that the government is a reflection of the people, and the people are a reflection of the government. And like the guy who wouldn't wear the mask at the Chevron station, it works both ways. Mm-hmm. Trump is there because there's a lot of people like that, in my opinion, are undereducated and haven't really questioned their role.
But there's a lot of stuff that the government has done that we as the people have no say in. Like, once Trump was put in office, like, there was really nothing we can do to freaking stop that border wall, to freaking stop all the terrible Supreme Court rulings that's happened. Like, it's just kind of fixed because our representation in the government is kind of failing us. Like, I don't want to be down on the Democrats, but they're not playing enough hardball. They're not, you know, defending us enough. The Republicans have just been playing hardball and trying to just block and mess up and get their way in the government for years and years and years. Like, the more I learn about the past issues in our, like, in our governmental system, like, the more I'm just shocked that it even works, you know, that it, but it doesn't really. The fact that our Senate can't really even pass laws most of the time, like, just shows that something is wrong that the people cannot, that don't have any influence on. Just shows that there's, like, big corporations control our government and bigger influences, and the people with the big money tied up in whatever big construction project is being funded by the taxpayer money is what controls our government and our laws and our districts. And really, it's just like the government control the people to suit themselves and to suit what they think, like, what gives them the most benefit, like, not even for the country, but for the individuals who work in the system, I guess. I don't know, but that's just what I think is going on, because I hear about an oil lobbyist being the head of the EPA, and I hear about, like, permitting disaster that border wall has been. Like, there's no actual foundation, there's no, they just didn't do it legally right, and, like, how can they break all these rules just because they're the ones in charge, but they're the ones, they're just a whole bunch of hypocrites, in my opinion. There's just so much wrong that just benefits not the people, but just a select few of the people in this country, not the entire population. Healthcare, you know, I could go on. Pharmaceutical industry.
That's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Laneville Healthy Starts Coalition Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's You Speaks Out. Our Environmental Protection Strategies in the Community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of the National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing young youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or jama@laytonville.org. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Robert, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming and downloadable audio. The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of this radio station. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is free to be rebroadcasted upon notification. Our shows are posted monthly at our website, youthspeaksout.net, and you can find our podcast link there or on iTunes. Thanks for listening.